We turn in your pew Bible this morning to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. This is the last sermon in this series of being emotionally healthy spirituality. It's been a good series. I hope it was good for you and it challenged you. The last one is kind of brings everything together is loving Christ above all else in our lives and what that looks like. And so I'm going to share with you out of the book of Daniel and then a verse out of Matthew as well this morning. Most of you know the story of Daniel quite well, and so we're not going to read everything in detail, but you'll be able to fill in the blanks about some of the trials that he endured, and you know that he's thrown into the lion's den, and so I'm not going to read every detail of that, but you'll get the gist of it. But I am going to read chapter 1 in its entirety, because I want you to understand what is going on in Daniel's life. So loving Christ above all else, follow along with me in your pew Bible this morning. Daniel's Training in Babylon is what it's entitled. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his god in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his god. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defects, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some of Judah, from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names to Daniel, the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare your appearance with that of young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Now turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. And I'm going to jump around just a little bit with you here, beginning at verse 7 through 10. Then we'll jump to verse 16 and 22. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or a human being during the next 30 days except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And then go to verse 16. So, of course, Daniel was caught praying when he wasn't supposed to, so this is what happened to Daniel. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." And then verse 22. Of course, we know that he was in the lion's den. And here is the outcome. "My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." And of course, you know that God saved Daniel in that lion's den. Now turneth me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 21. It's a short verse, but has heavy weight for us this morning. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," is the verse that we read this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've heard from your word this morning. We ask that you bless it. Lord, may you just bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit, Lord, and may this message be yours and never mine. Lord, fill me with that same spirit as I bring your message to your people today. And for those that have gathered here in the pew or maybe are at home online watching us, Lord, I pray for your spirit to also open their hearts, minds, and souls to your ways, your teachings. In Jesus I pray, amen. What do you know about a milk cow? I know we have a couple that are journeymen in here this morning. What do you know about a milk cow? Anybody want to care to answer that question? And it is not a trick question. It's pretty simple. What do you got to do with a cow? You got to milk it, right? Now, can you milk it every couple days or maybe when you feel like it? Is that how you milk and take care of a cow? No. What's important about a milk cow? If you want to, profitability is always the driving force, of course, but if you want your cow to milk well, what are some key things that you need to do with this cow? You got to feed it, right? And what else you got to do? Milk it. Yep, milk it out. Some guys milk 2 times a day. Others milk 3 times a day. But they're on a routine. They're on a schedule, right? They try to feed the same time every day and wherever that might be. But they take care of that cow to the best of their ability. But the most important thing about a milk cow that I've learned over the time is that routine and timing of milking is key. If you start to alter and mess with the time that you milk, you want to talk to a dairyman. When the time changes, they can tell it in their dairy herd. Production goes down. So here's my thought for you this morning as we transition into our spiritual lives. They are no different. You must have routine. You must be fed a regular dose of God's word throughout your life on a daily basis. And I'm going to teach you that this morning of what that should look like in your spiritual life. And I want to share with you this morning that there is a rule of life that you and I should have. So Peter Cesaro calls it in his book. And as I went through sabbatical last summer and I read this, I start to understand about what this should look like in our life. So think about that milk cow this morning that I just talked to you about. And the routines of that milk cow that come into that cow's life, it's no different than our spiritual life. A rule of life, and let me get the definition here. Here's what it is. It's an intentional conscious plan to keep God at the center of our lives on a daily basis. He's at the forefront of everything that you and I do from day to day. That's what it's about. A rule of life. And this rule of life, which we'll explain more and we'll get into here in just a little bit, it provides a daily guidance to help us remember that God is the source of our lives for everything that goes on. The air you breathe, the food that you eat, the house that you stay in, the school that you go to, whatever it might be, the job that you go to, that God is the source of everything in our lives. And in order for this to happen, We need to have spiritual practices built into our daily lives to help us do this. And so let me just share a few other things about these spiritual practices. For most Christians, look in the blue box on the bottom of the screen this morning, we are functional Christians. We are not intentional Christians. And you're going to see that in the life of Daniel. He was not a functional Christian. He was intentional in his life because he would have never survived the culture of Babylonia. He would have been sucked right into it. But somehow he resisted that culture. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ in today's world, you need to be intentional in your faith. That's what's got to happen. Because the functional Christian is going to drift away. You're not going to survive. That's what I'm trying to pass along with you this morning. Because the current of Satan, the things that you will come against in your life, and if you're not intentional about being ready to stand against those, you're going to get swept down the river. You're not going to be able to stand. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the grace of God that's working in your life. You need to be fed that diet of the spiritual word of God on a daily basis in your life. And so I'm going to encourage you this morning, as you got your outlines, follow along. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you some tools of how do I develop a rule of life? What does that look like for me? And so there's many different things we'll talk about. But if we're truly going to love Christ above all else, we have to have a growing and vibrant spiritual life. Each one of us. You'll need a thoughtful, conscious, intentional plan. And so let me share with you the story of Daniel. Now, when you read it for face value, it's easy to understand, right? He prayed to God. He got thrown in the lion's den because he's praying to God. And God saved him, and he closed the mouths of the lions. And we get that. We've learned that since we were children. But Daniel lived a different way, a little deeper than maybe what we read glossing through the scripture this morning. So let me share with you Daniel's story. Daniel was a young man who lived in Jerusalem. He grew up with the teachings of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. He would have known them. He knew who God was. He prayed to God. He had a faith in his life. And along comes Nebuchadnezzar and his army. They pillage and they destroy Jerusalem, right? It's in ruins. They destroy the city. They take the valuables, what's there, gold, silver, maybe some false gods that maybe were floating around that he could make into false gods. Excuse me about that. But what I'm trying to get at is that the city that Daniel grew up in was gone. The culture that Daniel knew was gone. And they took him back to Babylonia, into that culture. And let me share with you just a little bit about what that was like. Babylon was a pagan country. They had pagan worship. They had pagan gods. Daniel 1 verse 4 says, he was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. And then it goes on to verse 5 to say this. They were trained for 3 years in the ways of Babylonia. 3 years, they sat in class and they learned the culture of what those people were like. Pagan people, pagan gods, their style of worship. That's what Daniel lived in. More or less what King Nebuchadnezzar said to his high guard, the head eunuch, take the ways of God out of David. Excuse me, Daniel. That's what he said to him. More or less, that's what they're doing. We're going to rebuild these men. We're going to make them part of our empire. Smart, intelligent men without defect that were perfect in their lives, more or less, the things that they've seen. That's what they wanted. You bring the best of the best of Jerusalem, and we're going to make them ours. We're going to change them, and we're going to reshape and build them into what we need in our culture for our country to do well. In fact, he even had Daniel's name changed. From now on, you'll be called Belshazzar. What an evil front to try to come against in his life. You just think about this just for a moment. You live here in the United States. You live in Northwest Iowa or South Dakota or maybe Southern Minnesota, wherever. But you have family scattered around you. You are used to your culture. You know you can come to church every Sunday morning here. And if once in a while you want to go out to eat at Pizza Ranch or McDonald's, you go do that kind of a thing. You're used to your style of food. What if that was all taken away for you just like that? How many of you have ever been to China before? I haven't. Some of you here in this congregation have been. Would you like to acclimate yourself to that type of lifestyle, to that type of food? I'm not saying their culture is bad. What I'm saying is that it's such a change that went on in Daniel's life. He lost his place of worship. The temple laid in ruins. The food that he's used to eating was no more. His friends, his family, they were no longer around except for these three guys that they decided to take with that were kind of equal to Daniel. And I'm sure they became their own little group because they all were believers in God. But just soak that in for a moment this morning. The change that took place in Daniel's life, plucked out of this country and placed in a totally different country, even a different language. This is your new lifestyle, right here. Now you try to hold on to your faith in the midst of all that. That's what Daniel was up against. He had no support system. He was busy. Right, we read about that. He was training and going to school, and so he's just like you and I, right, in the world that you and I live in. We're busy people, right, things to do, places to go. Daniel was no different in the way that he lived his life, but yet he found a way to hang on to God. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. So how did Daniel resist the powerful, evil culture of Babylonia? What kept him from being sucked into their pagan ways? Because it sure would have been much easier just to give in and go with the flow. Remember we talked about that last week? You don't want to upset the apple cart, right? Sometimes it's easier for us just to go with the flow in our faith, but not Daniel. He's not going to go there. He wasn't able to escape the hustle and bustle of life. He had his daily demands, his daily chores, whatever it might be, his schooling. He probably had a donkey or a camel that he had to take care of because that was maybe his mode of transportation. What did Daniel do to hang on to God so tightly in the midst of Babylonia? He had a rule of life. Now, that might be a 21st century term, but here's what that meant. He had a life of intention of living it with God. That's what he had. That was his rule of life, and I'm going to just share a few brief things with you this morning about that. He had a plan, and he stuck to it. He lived it out. He knew that functional spirituality that I was talking to you earlier about was not going to cut it. Now let me give you a definition of functional spirituality so you have a deeper level of understanding, because you get what intentional means, right? You do it on purpose. But when you're functional, it might look like this. How many of you have a morning routine in your life? And I'm betting all of you do, but you're used to a certain way, right? You get out of bed and maybe you make coffee or you look out the window or maybe the alarm clock goes off and you hop in the shower or whatever, you have breakfast or you don't have breakfast, but you have a routine, don't you? Right? Every one of you, I'm assuming, does. So, you know, if you're the younger generation, you grab a Mountain Dew first thing in the morning, right? Instead of your coffee. You know, that's so think about your morning routine. If you're a functional Christian, this is what functional Christianity might look like. Is that somewhere along the road, you find a spot that you can spend some time with God in the morning or in the evening before you go to bed, and you crack that Bible open, you read a few verses, and then you pray. And then you close it up, and you go about your life. And you did your part with God for the day. That's functional Christianity. It's enough to get you by. It's enough to maybe keep you in the Word. It's enough to maybe give you a little bit of peace. But what about the rest of the day? Is Christ in the forefront of what's going on throughout your days? You're sitting in the tractor or sitting at the desk or on the phone, whatever it might be. What does that look like? Right? Yeah. And don't worry, I'm right there with you. Because functional Christianity is easy to slip into, especially when you're busy. Right? So hold on to those thoughts. I'm going to give you some more tools here about this rule of life and what intentionality will look like. Now, some of you are probably getting a little squirmish or nervous, and it doesn't involve that much change. It's about routine is what I'm going to drive home to you today in your life. So here's what I think Daniel thought in his day. When he was taken out of Jerusalem and he's brought into the country of Babylonia, into the city of Babylon, different culture, different way of life, different everything, he realized that going to church on Sunday and praying once in a while was not going to be enough. It was not going to keep his faith where it needed to be. That's what he realized when he got there. And now I'm not saying that going to church and prayer is a bad thing here. Don't hear me say that, because that's a good thing. What I'm saying is, though, if you're going to live intentionally in your life and you're going to follow Christ in this world today, with everything that's going on, you need to have a little bit more of a plan than just that. That's what I'm getting at. So Daniel had this plan, and he reoriented his entire life around the ways of God. And you say, well, how? What'd that look like? And so let me share that with you this morning. First thing he did is in verse 8, if you have your Bibles open, you'll stay with Daniel chapter 1, you'll be able to follow along here this morning. Daniel resolved not to defile himself by not eating what? The king's food. He wanted it to be different. He didn't want to be in the king's table. He didn't want to be sitting around there acclimating to the ways that he was being offered to him. He wanted to remain separate of that type of culture. And so what did he ask for? Bring me Pepsi and Snickers, right? Nope. Water and vegetables. Now, I don't mind a few vegetables, but if all I had to eat was vegetables, that'd get pretty old, though, wouldn't it? But he didn't want to acclimate to that type of a lifestyle or that type of a culture. He said, I'm going to be different when I come into these situations. I'm not going to turn the whole thing upside down, but I'm not going to follow your ways. I'm going to stick to God's ways. And what did God do with the head eunuch? He softened his heart. He said, okay, Daniel, I'll give you the opportunity to eat those vegetables and drink nothing but water for 10 days, but I don't think you're going to look very well in 10 days. King's going to notice. You're a little thinner. Things aren't going well. But what happened? That wasn't the case at all, was it? Daniel and his three friends, they came back as the shining stars. They looked great. They're probably physically fit. They looked good. See, they stuck to the ways of God. He lived with intentionality. I'm sure every time he ate a green bean, he thought, oh God, just keep me going, right? Or spinach, that'd probably be better yet. Yeah. It was intentional in his life. And I think that we need to live that way as well. Vegetables and water. And then go on to verse 17 this morning. And it says this about Daniel. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And to Daniel, he could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. He's given a gift, a spiritual gift that he could use with the king. And he found favor in that. But God gave him wisdom and he gave him knowledge. But Daniel stuck close to God. Right? And if you move on, you look at Daniel 6, verse 10. This decree came out. He couldn't pray to his God, and he could only pray to the king and so on. And what did Daniel do? He went home and shut his windows and just cried. He kept right on praying. He was okay with whatever was to come. His life of intentionality was more important than if it even cost him his own life. And he knew where it led, the lion's den. And God took care of that too for him in his life. His intentional routines in his spiritual life enabled him to stay connected to God, and it sustained his faith. High school seniors, you were just up here. Let me give you this encouragement. As you go off to college or to work, whatever that might be, it is of utmost importance that you stay connected to God. This is the transition point where most of you will walk away from your faith. You might come back in years down the road, but don't chance that. And if you're in high school and you're listening and you're maybe a junior or sophomore, the same thing goes for you. Stay connected to God. And maybe you're sitting in the crowd or you're at home this morning and you realize that you're far away. And I'm going to encourage you to draw close to God. Make it intentional in your life to do those things. Have a plan and stay connected to God. So let me talk to you about what does that look like, right? How do I do that in my life? And so if you got your outline with you, you're going to be able to take it home with you and you're going to see this. But there's four key areas that you need to be aware of if you're going to make yourself a rule of life that you're going to live by and you're going to be intentional in the way that you live your faith. And so the first one is prayer, right? Daniel prayed. He never ceased praying. Pray. And underneath that, I'm going to give you just a few more tidbits and hopefully you can keep up. But in that prayer, now remember, this is kind of the overall bubble. You need to read scripture in that prayer time, right? In that moment. You need to practice silence and solitude. Remember those times in the past sermons when I said there's time where you need just downtime and you need to listen to God's voice and be still? Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. That's what it's about. Remember the daily office of prayer and study? That it's a routine, something that's intentional. Second is rest. Sabbath rest. Practice Sabbath. Remember the message on Sabbath? What that looks like? People no longer are learned to what? Delight in God, delight in creation. And God says, go play in the world that I've created for you. Enjoy your life. Take time to do those things. Because many of us get swept away and, oh, we got to get this done, we got to get that done, and work overtakes us. The third one is work and activity. Now, this is not talking about you going to work. This involves part of caring for yourself physically, emotionally, mentally. That you care for your body in the way that God created you. But also the work part of it, the activity part is be in mission with Christ in the world. Be in service to the church that you're a part of here in Inwood, Iowa. Or wherever you may be in your church. Be a part of the body of Christ. And here's the last one, relationships. I've been preaching to you now for several weeks about being emotionally healthy in your life. You just came off two messages about being emotionally mature, right? An emotional adult in the way that we live life and we're authentic and we be honest with one another and we just share what's going on in our lives. And may I add this to this today? Stay connected to family. Stay connected to community. Stay connected to church in your life. All of these things that I'm speaking to you about this morning, they help you develop that rule of life of things that are intentional in your life. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. Don't go home with this big list and say, I'm going to do all of these starting tomorrow. Because how many of you are good at keeping New Year's resolutions? Right? You start with good intention. It might go well for a week or two, and then you start to slip off. So here's what I want you to do today. I want you to go home, and I want you to think about this message, this whole series that I've given you, and I want you to pick out one or two things. That's all I want you to work on. And when you get good at them, when they become natural to you in your way of life, then add a few more as you go. There's no time of when you need to add this or get rid of this, but what needs to happen is that you need to evaluate your life of, you know, what needs to go and what do I need to do different in my life from day to day if I'm going to be intentional in my faith. You might have many areas that need work, but I'm going to encourage you, just take one or two and get good at it. Let it start to change you from the inside, like Daniel did. And may I share this with you? Whether you realize it or not, all of you, including me, already have a rule of life. The way that you live from day to day, the things that you do with intentionality, the habits you form, your morning routine that I just mentioned to you this morning. But here's the main question that I want to challenge you with this morning. Does your rule of life include the question of Jesus in it with intentionality? Do you love him above all? This morning, Matthew 6, verse 21 says that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Who's your treasure? Is it Jesus Christ? Because that's what the Bible calls us to do. And we're supposed to love him above all else. That's living a life of intentionality. That's not functional Christianity. So we live our life. Remember that milk cow? Remember we talked about that here at the beginning of this message this morning? There's one thing you need to know about milk and cows that I also want you to take home this morning, is that they never stay milked. Right? If you're a dairyman, you know you got to go home and milk again this afternoon and tomorrow morning and the next night and the next day. See, your spiritual life is no different. You need to be fed today and tomorrow and the next day in your life. Start to do those things. Because I know Satan's hard at work, the things that we live in today. But Daniel, he was against some very tough things in his life. It's no different than your life. So I encourage you today to develop that rule of life and make sure you take care of yourself spiritually. And may you have courage like Daniel to live like that. And all of God's people said,